gentlemen, this is your captain, Ricky Ricardo.
Welcome everyone to a brand new edition of the Swift Kicks podcast. I'm Alex, and with me as always are Ben and Steve. Before we get started, please like and subscribe to this podcast. Share it with anyone you know who loves the beautiful game. Also, check out SwiftKickspod.com as well as our partners over at Rubens Brews. On this episode, is Solskjaer on the brink at United? Bond villain Klopp has a beer, but how many? What beer did he have? How many people did he invite over? And the results of our poll on whether Team USA needs a single home field. Got quite the response on that. But first, let's get started with the Premier League, a little roundup of what happened. We're going to get into the future of Manchester United leadership in just a moment. But first, anything stand out to you this weekend, Steve?
Before I start, speaking of Rubens Brews, brought to you, beer today is Lily Witt. Thank you, Rubens Brews. Anything standing out to me to this weekend? As I ponder over my first sip. Ooh. I might need another one of those after this one. The obvious one, I think that we'll be sinking our teeth into here soon. This episode, Liverpool United circus. That was quite. I don't think that was something that people were forecasting. But I mean, like when you listen to other pundits and people giving their opinions on it, you know, and it's easy in hindsight to point out like, oh, you assemble a timeline that like fits that narrative. It's like, well, it's easy because it's already happened. You can assemble that and make that work. But like pre that game, I think it was pretty difficult to forecast that something like that was going to happen. So yeah. That was one, that's for certain. Tottenham lost to West Ham. I thought that was pretty interesting. That brings them to West Ham are fourth in the table after 9 games played, sitting on 17 points, 5 points off top, which is Chelsea. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, something that stuck out to me was Brighton. Didn't quite happen for them. However, yeah. I felt like they played pretty well in the second half. They got absolutely trounced. You know, it was, if you played it by the games of halves, it was 3-0, Man City, basically all Foden. But in that second half, Brighton played pretty well, and they would have won 1-0 if it wasn't for like a late goal from Mahrez in like the 95th minute. But yeah, I thought that they showed that they perhaps aren't the team that we thought they could be, maybe, you know, pushing for a Champions League. But I mean, they're a team that it's a strong team. Brighton, Sonny Brighton, Dazer looking
Sonny Brighton. For you.
Yeah.
It's starting to get to the colder months. We need to make a trip to Brighton because it's always sunny there.
Right. the seagulls flocking south.
Norwich losing 7-0 to Chelsea.
Yeah, ouch. That was shocking.
Major ouchies. One could say.
Yeah. Should we immediately relegate them now? Are they
I mean, I yeah. I see. I want to say like the Norwich fans are like, you know, happy that their team is in the Prem, but then if they're just the Premier League punching bag,
yeah.
Do you want to have a whole year of that? I don't really know.
Right.
So, well, I mean, I'm gonna make the executive decision to relegate them now.
Yeah. Currently, I mean, coming up, they got Leeds United and then Brentford and Southampton. So I mean, Wolves and Newcastle. So if there's ever a run of games for them to win anything, it's time for Norwich City to do that. Newcastle, by the way, got a point. So
yeah, saw that.
Graham Jones is undefeated. And I don't know.
I mean, he'll be in the job for 3 years now.
Yeah, he's at least in the role for another match. Apparently, lots of speculation about who's going to come in. I mean, I've seen Conte linked. I've seen Eddie Howe linked. I've seen literally anybody and everybody that's available is linked with that job. And it's just, you know, I don't know. I feel like you can't please anybody with what's coming down the pike. You know, there's going to be somebody that says, oh, well, I thought that this guy would have been better, or we sort of paid out whatever it is. There's like the ridiculous route that we could go of paying out whatever 35 million to get Rafa Benitez back from Everton. Like, it's just, you know, there's all these crazy scenarios that could play out.
It'd be cool to see Rafa back. I think Rafa's a quality manager. I thought he fit Newcastle very well.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you saw some of the stick that like he's been getting like not even stick, it's just pure abuse from like,
yeah,
Edmonton,
got, like,
fans.
Those death threats. Yeah,
yeah, like, you know, yeah, people outside his house, like they're
I think we did talk about that because he put a banner on the wrong house at first,
right? But it's continuing, like it's become like a whole thing now, and it's like,
is it still going on?
Yeah, it's still going on. And like, I think I saw a meme where it's like him like writing down a note and it's like, sorry, boys, I got to leave you. I'm going back to the tune. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, he would be welcomed back in, with open arms, I believe. But
speaking of abuse, did you see the interview that Steve Bruce gave, basically kind of talking about how he thinks that the Newcastle jobs is going to be his last job in football?
Oh, my God. How have I not even thought of this? I forgot that we haven't talked since Steve Bruce was canned.
Now we talked about that last episode, didn't we?
No, last episode was like literally 2 days before he got the boot.
Breaking news: Steve Bruce has in fact been fired. He is no longer undefeated. He has been defeated.
Breaking news to us. yeah, I mean, Steve
Bruce dropped the bombshell casually.
Yeah, I absolutely forgot about that. It feels like it's been a lifetime since he's been away. A lifetime of bad memories has at least flooded away from me. but yeah, kind of shocking news. I mean, I was correct in predicting that it would be by the end of the week. I said that they had to do it in quick order. Otherwise, it was almost like cruel and unusual punishment for him. He knew that he was going to be canned and kicked out the door. But, right. You know, just get it over with. Let him go.
Did you see what I'm talking about? This?
Yeah, when he said that he didn't love being called like a cabbage and fat and terrible and everything.
Yeah, man. I was like, man, that puts a bad – not like – like – I felt for him because
here's the thing, he got called that kind of stuff too when he left Sunderland, when he left West Brom, like places like that.
But to be like, it was a job that was destined, like he was not, that was a sinking ship.
Yeah.
And he boarded the ship and like it was doomed from the get-go.
Yeah.
And it, like, I still feel bad. And he being called those things, everyone hating him and not wanting him there, like from day one, and being upset. Like, everyone's been upset. It's been Mike Ashley for Lord knows how long. Everyone is in a bad mood. You are showing up. You are the next comedian on set, and the previous five just like bombed.
Right.
No one's been having a good time in that audience, you know?
Right.
So like you're now tasked with saving the show.
Yeah.
And it's just an impossible task.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the quote was that he didn't like being called a useless, fat, waste of space, stupid, tactically inept cabbage head.
Yeah, like he's getting like detailed in these threats, or not threats, but like these insults.
Just to be accurate with what he was called. But again, you know, this is the man that said that he didn't believe in tactics and hasn't won a game all season. So, I mean, some of that abuse, I feel like, is a little.
And also, at the same time, he's boss man is 60 years old. He's been in football a long time. Was a hell of a player.
Right.
During his time. Has managed all these different clubs, and it was this one where he's like, man, he's like, you know what? I think after that one, like, he's like, that was, I thought I'd seen everything in football. That was different.
Right.
That wasn't enjoyable. Like, he's like, but he, you know, I like Newcastle, you know, I like, you know, like, I wanted to do well.
Right.
It wasn't like he didn't want, like, I wanted to do well. Like, just nobody else seemed to want me to do well.
Yeah.
And he's like, my wife, my family, like all these people, like they see me getting this abuse and see what I'm going through. And like, I just can't, I don't think I can put through everyone through that again. And I'm like, man, like that, like, I can only imagine the fallout after that would be like, your love for football has had to have taken some kind of dent. To which degree is up, you know, that's, I don't know, but like, you surely don't come out of that unscathed, like with the same passion for football. Like something had, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. Like he, I mean, especially.
I just wish it didn't come to that. Everyone wishes it didn't come to that, but.
Yeah, you know, for the abuse and stick that he should have gotten for his results, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. As a man,
I know it's difficult, like, for you because you're a Newcastle fan.
Yeah. And
you, like, I understand both sides of this.
Yeah.
But it's just like, he almost, like, I want to say that he stayed around long enough to be the villain, but it was almost like, and not rightly so, but he was anybody who took that job was the villain off the get-go.
Yeah.
So it just happened to be Steve Bruce, and he just happened to stay around for 3 years. And it was like, I mean, he did improve. Like, what? I think his first season, they finished 13th. I think the second season, they finished 12th. Right.
Yeah.
Obviously, this season, it's a little bit different, but
give him 12 more years, we would have won the Prem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's harsh. I have sympathy for stuff like that, because, like, you never want to see people getting, like, abused like that. But I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
It is. It's tough for him as a man, and, like, somebody that is local to the area, you know, grew up as a kid there. I think he was
technically. So he is a Geordie, right?
Yeah. I think he was a fan of Newcastle growing up. He was born in, I believe, Corbridge, which is a little town just outside. And
okay.
But then, you know, he was obviously a big Man United player when he was.
Right.
Growing up. I mean, that's no real choice of his own. You know, that's just how things play out. But
right.
Yeah, you know, to have that sort of taken away from you a little bit, I think what you're saying, you know, that would take out any steam. I mean, where do you go from there next?
Yeah, right.
Like, what club do you pick up saying, like, yeah, I'll be the manager of? Maybe Man United. We'll get into that in a little bit. But
at the end of the day, he's walking away. I think his buyout for the rest of his contract was what? It was like £7 million, £9 million, some of that.
Yeah, you want to talk about a golden parachute like this guy?
Yeah. So Bossman can wipe away his tears right now with golden tissues, and like he can be like, he's okay.
Yeah.
Financially.
Right.
Emotionally, right. Yeah.
Emotionally, mentally, we're not quite sure.
Yeah. Physically.
Put out an APB on this guy. Yeah. Something, a little side note, I guess, from that Liverpool Man U game was that Mo Salah became the top scoring African player in the Premier League history.
Mm, yeah. Overtaking Didier Drogba.
Yeah. What, he's now at 106, 107 goals.
Yeah.
So pretty amazing. Salah just continues to be on fire.
Yeah,
like no matter what,
people
take
predicting
away from
that downfall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, us.
Everyone's saying like, "Oh, he's a one." Yeah, right.
Don't throw us under the bus, Alex.
But like people saying like Liverpool's like a one season thing, or like a couple season thing, or like Mo Salah, like that whole front line thing. Like, it's a one season thing, it's a one off. Like,
right.
He turned it around.
Yeah,
for sure. Not even like the ship was like in a bad position to begin with.
Yeah,
but like. The little tiny detour that Liverpool took, they are now back on course and full throttle.
Yeah. I mean, he's running away with like the top
scorer. One could say they are in fifth gear.
Yes. One could say they have found an extra speed. But yeah, Mo Salah sitting on 10 goals for the season right now. Jamie Vardy in second with 7. Mikel Antonio, West Ham. Sadio Mane got 5. Bruno Fernandes.
Where's Aubameyang? I thought Aubameyang was.
He just scored what, like his 4th and 4? I think it was.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, and he's getting some good praise because you know he's finally kind of picked it back up. Both him
because
and,
somebody's scoring goals,
right? Yeah, both him and James Maddison over at Leicester. I think they finally started clicking at the same.
James Maddison scored the winner.
Yeah, I think they started clicking at the right time. Beating Brentford, unfortunately for the Bees. Starting to slip down the table, maybe getting some tough opposition in them. But I mean, Tielemans continues to score as well.
I was going to say, did you see that goal?
Yes, that was a stunner.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
That was sure. Like a tiny little bit of banana on it going outside, a little bit of swaz going to the right foot, going to the right top bins.
Yep.
Like that was just peeling ever so slightly away from the goalkeeper. Like,
yeah.
As is the ball when it was traveling towards the net was saying to the goalkeeper,
I don't know if you caught Callum Wilson's overhead kick. Got a good spike in there for the equalizer. Put out a good tweet on that saying that he's trying to do anything and everything that he can to continue to earn his position in the squad once Lionel Messi and Martin Odegaard or somebody, Erling Haaland, is in the squad as well. It's going to be tough for him to get in there, but.
Sign Patrick Mahomes, right?
Right, yeah. So, LeBron James coming in as well. But managed to rescue
Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, just anybody who's expensive will just get taken.
What's your price tag? Okay, right. Is it over this threshold? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, get him.
It's amazing to me that Callum Wilson, I think we bought him for less than £8 million. I think we did. And he scored, I saw some stat, I think he scored Within the past 20 games that he's played, something like 18, 17 goals, something around there. It's just really kind of a phenomenal record for somebody that's in, you know, a smaller club. It's incredible. So let's bring Ben into the chat. Apparently he's been doing whatever he can.
Do we have to?
Yeah, we could bring Ben in, I guess. I think he's been drinking too many Reuben's brews.
I don't blame him.
Yeah. What are you drinking again?
Lily White Wit.
Lily White. Amazing. All right.
It is amazing.
What's the, as you like to call it, the horsepower on that one?
Horsepower on this guy's five. We got five horsepower.
Okay. All right. Well, Ben's been having a few of those. Ben, so we did a little roundup of the Premier League, some things that we thought were pretty standout this weekend. One of them, of course, had to be the 5-0 drubbing from Liverpool. I have to go to you on this. Some are saying that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's days are kind of over. It's time for him to go. A lot of fans, though, I feel like are actually giving him more praise and saying, you know, give him some time. I mean, he finished second for us last season. Like, where's the rush to fire him? Where do you stand on this?
In the middle, so no one's mad at me. Both sides are right. I mean, where were those fans? So, like, the stands emptied out, right?
Yeah.
And then, like, the 65th minute, there was probably about 30,000 of the 70,000 seats or 90,000 seats just walking down the street. Right. So there's your clear divide. I think 90,000 it's important. Seats. Yeah, how many seats are Theater of Dreams?
Not 90.
Google it real quick while I'm talking. Just fact check me real quick. The fans, like...
76,000.
That is right. Way more than I thought there was.
Yeah, I was close, but not quite. Wembley's 90. Yeah. Yeah, long and short of it, like, there, you got to draw the line somewhere. I don't think that time's yet. I think he gets to Christmas, but eventually you got to set aside your personal feelings for the guy and the childhood he made for you and then recognize, like, hey, this guy's just not cutting it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I wish things were different, but it is a cutthroat league. And I think we are overlooking the fact that, yes, we want to be competitive. Yes, we should be beating every team in the table. Yes, we spend way too much money, but Liverpool are unreal right now. Like, that's a very good Liverpool squad. Let's not take away from the fact that they look so dominant without spending any money in the transfer markets.
Yeah. I have my take. I guess I'm similar to Ben, but I'm leaning more towards the side of that he needs to go, simply because of in the lead up to that game, OGS is talking about, you know, we can't give Liverpool an inch. We have the perfect plan to stop Salah. He's all this talk on the game. They score within 5 minutes. The tactical change that he does make, Pogba comes in. Pogba gets sent off right away. Everything that could have went wrong, and it just seemed like it was a guy who was out of his depth, who didn't know what to do. And you're right, Liverpool are an exceptional side, but it just seemed like every decision he was making was just blown up in his face. That's what it felt like to me. But I mean, at the same time, he's got egos. You know, you have Ronaldo now, you've got to balance these people. So, like, if you fire him, you have to figure out who you're going to bring in and who are you going to bring in that's going to be able to balance and manage all of these egos. You have Pogba, you have Fernandes, you have
Ronaldo. Steve Bruce is available.
You have all these people. So it's like he's got – OGS is still figuring out, you know, how to balance and manage all these egos, but I think he's a little bit out of his depth. And I think the last thing I want to say on it is I think United's refusal to address the gaping hole as like a number six role that they just do not fill. They go into the season with Fred, Nemanja Matic, and Scott McTominay. They need a number six and were in desperate need of a number six and neglected that role and signed Ronaldo, and you have all these people up top, you have all this attacking power, but you just don't have the spine, and I think that's hurting them now.
They are desperately, desperately missing a Michael Carrick.
100%. The challenge for me is it goes back to what we were talking about a couple weeks ago of like play your best players.
Mm-hmm.
And why is Paul Pogba still sitting on the bench, man? He had such a good start to the season and he's just sitting. And you know, it's because there's probably a little bit of an attitude there, but at the same time, like you want to play these superstars, you're going to have to deal with.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Every decision he makes, it goes wrong.
But this I don't think if there's ever a game to play Paul Pogba, like the game against Liverpool.
You're right. Who are you resting him for? You know what I mean? Pull Fred out. Let McTominay sit there and let's see what happens. Let him, what's it called? This peacock's got to fly.
You choose to bench one of your best players. And then when you do bring him on, when you do introduce him to the game to make a difference, he gets red carded. It was just like everything went wrong. And I think, honestly, I think we are starting, you could argue this, but I think we are starting to see a bit of a, I don't want to call it a hangover, but like players like Luke Shaw, Harry Maguire, other internationals that played a full season, then played a packed Euros and are now asked to play, you know, Champions League football, a whole nother season, again, another grueling season. I think that you're seeing players now who are starting to, they need rest. I think Maguire needs a rest. I think Luke Shaw needs a rest, but they can't afford it. United can't afford it. They don't have the depth to be able to have that rest. Varane's still out injured, I believe. I don't know what kind of cover United Alex, tell carrying
us.
These days.
Yeah, they do have some depth.
You get what I'm saying?
Tell us. I don't understand why it was the fault for the first like four goals. Like it just wasn't marking. It looked lost. And it's a game that was moving at a speed that he wasn't prepared for. Wan-Bissaka looked the same way. And then the other thing is like, if you're 4-5-0 down and you got a hothead player, you don't bring him on. Right? That's the wrong time to bring on Paul
Pogba. Is Paul a hothead player?
Yeah. He's consistently
arguing. Saying yeah because of that one? Because
of that it's just the proof's in the pudding, but it's more along the lines of the fact that he's consistently arguing, he's consistently heated, he consistently reacts. Never like to the point that I was like, oh, this dude's gonna get straight red, but it's not what you need when you're like 5-0 down. You know what they should have done? This is a loss. Let's bring on the youngest players we have and give them an opportunity to play against one of the best squads in the world right now. Get them that experience. Let people that have something to play for get out there and get after it. Otherwise, you start your best players. And
that's a tough one.
It is difficult, but like Mo Salah, hands down, is probably one of the best strikers in the world right now. Like, just scored another hat trick, no big deal. I know you guys already talked a little bit about how he was the leading scorer from the African nations. That's incredible. Yeah. But for me, it just doesn't fit. Something's not clicking. And if it's easiest to blame, you know, Solskjaer, so be it. But I struggle to say kick into the curb right now. And it's because of the fact that they did finish second last year and they weren't looking very strong for a period of the year. And the other thing to keep in mind is sometimes coaches really got to screw up to fix problems. So there's a little bit of evidence in that. He's on a tight rope, but I think personally he gets to January. And if they're not rebounding a little bit against Tottenham, maybe, you know what I mean? If he comes out next weekend, they play Tottenham, they come out next weekend and we get killed by Tottenham like that. That's a separate conversation. Yeah. You got to recognize Liverpool are that good right now and United are transitioning. They shouldn't.
I don't think it would have been possible for you because that was the biggest loss to Liverpool without scoring a goal since it was like 66 or something like that. Like it was some wild number. Like, I don't think at the point when you're losing 5-0, you start subbing on academy players and like young players. I mean, I think you'd have been fired if you'd have done that. I mean, why? I get what you're saying. Give him a. It's like you can do that to perhaps like a West Ham, you know, like a team where you don't have eternal rivalry with. Like you've already getting humiliated at your home ground by your eternal rival, your most fiercest of rivals, and then just to start putting like the guy's already under pressure. He's like forever in this limbo of like on the cusp of losing his job. And then just to go start putting in academy players. I get what you're talking about.
Dude, at the same time, you got Cristiano Ronaldo, Bruno Fernandes, Mason Greenwood, and Marcus Rashford. And those people that you just talked about needing rest. Save your investment. You already lost. You know what I mean? It's okay to walk away.
I get what you're saying. I think you just, but I think it would have, the press would have been worse.
Who cares? It's the same thing. They won his head, right? Like, yeah, that's just it. That goes to the argument of like, he doesn't know what he's doing. For me, that's the game you pull Ronaldo off. You're up, 5-0 in the 70th, down a player. This is the game he could get hurt because he's reacting. He's lucky he didn't get a red. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah, I saw that.
A little bit of angst, if you will. It was kind of cool to see
frustration.
A fired up player for Man United because it looks so lackluster, but and that goal should not have been disallowed. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I didn't see that one. No.
There was a disallow, and basically his finger was offside. Like just his finger, just the tip. And it was crap, if I'm being honest. I don't see the 4-2-3-1 being what United need. I do agree there's some players. I've been saying this for a couple of weeks. The international breaks have been impacting certain clubs significantly more and less than others, right? But that can't be an excuse anymore because everyone's dealing with it.
Yeah.
So if you want to be the best in the world, go be the best in the world.
Right. And go ahead.
I just feel like this was possibly one of the more embarrassing losses for any Premier League club in Premier League era, really?
Ever? I mean, that's from a Newcastle fan.
Right, exactly. And that's coming on the same weekend that Norwich City just lost 7-0 to Chelsea. But
I'm saying, if it's the most embarrassing loss, you can't go subbing on academy players.
Right. And I just feel, I'll give you almost a scapegoat, if you will. I feel like the Glazers, just sort of the apathy that they've had towards the club, I don't even think they were at this game. You know, if there's a game to show up to, it's the one against Liverpool, your rivals, in a title fight at home, you know, in a season in which you can come back to games and be there for the fans and everything like that. And I think, you know, we talk so much about Sir Alex Ferguson having left and sort of the hangover that's continues to linger for this entire club. But I think he was the last person, if correct me if I'm wrong, that was the person that sort of ran the club from top to bottom, the last person that was sort of like manager of Manchester United, like ran the club as the business side of it almost entirely, as well as the football side of it entirely. And there just has not been anybody that seems to care about the club. It's almost like you're running down the road that Newcastle did. You're running down the road of just people don't have the best interests of the club at heart. And again, the Glazers not showing up to Liverpool. These are the same people that wanted to be part of the Super League that would have had you playing against Liverpool every, 3 weeks. You know what I mean? And the same Glazers that you had fans running on to a pitch to protest for. So where do they fall into this equation? You know, yeah, there's a lot of player management issues and things like that. But if there's nobody from the top saying, listen, you need to get it together, I feel like some of these things can kind of just let go. And they often do, and sort of slide further and further and deeper into a bigger problem.
Yeah, but I think it's too early for that, right? Like, let's get real.
I'm real.
A couple losses that we need to pay attention to, but at the end of the day, they're still 3 points out from the top four, 5 points out from the top four, right?
Like, yeah,
let's
seventh place.
Give me three points behind West Ham,
right? And like a couple points behind Brighton, I believe, which is
one
really embarrassing. Yeah, that's one too many. But again, like ultimately, there's a lot of time left in the game. You want to be in a Premier League title race. You're a week or two away from that just being completely out of the picture. Yeah. So you either pick yourself up, right, or you don't. And it's time to do that as a Man United player and fan. There's nothing I can do other than complain about it. So here I go. Yeah. Like, do better.
if you're talking about – you bring up a – well, you just brought up a point in my mind. You know – to be a top four side in the Prem, you know, teams like a Premier League winner is probably only losing 2-3-4 games, maybe tops. They're not losing many games. So the top four is in the same group, usually, if it's not, you know, there's not like a massive gap or whatever. You know, losing a handful of games. United right now, after 9 games played, already have 3 losses. So if we want OGS to continue on to January, I mean, that's two months. But December has a packed schedule, so you have like maybe a game or two extra in December, perhaps. That's a lot of games to, I don't know. I think perhaps what I'm trying to say is that your aim to be top four, I mean, or wherever your aim is, I'm just saying the aim for United is top four at this point. If your aim is to be top four, to continue with OGS until January when he's lost 3 and 9, I mean, he's losing a third of his games. We'll see. I just think that if you wait till January, I guess it might be a bit too late is kind of what I'm...
I just struggle to get behind that because, like, while I hear what you're saying, the truth to it is along the lines of, like, if it's too late, it's too late in January either way, right? Like, you're going to have a lull. So say you switch coaches, right? You got to assume...
Now or in January?
Anytime. You got to assume there's a grace period, right, where they're going to get beat because the coach has to figure out his form. No coach is going to come into the side brand new unless you have, like, Carrick be a caretaker manager, right?
Tuchel's coming in.
Be able to down it. Even Tuchel lost a couple right off the bat, and they're already in a position where they're behind the eight ball. But
anyone in the Champions League.
He's doing a little bit better in Europe, which is kind of, thank goodness. And at the same time, like, I don't know, man. Like, I hear what you're saying. For me, it's okay, ultimately, if you don't get there because you stuck it out to a guy. That's part of being a loyal fan, I think, and being a loyal to someone who's been good to your club is you let them kind of have their shot, and you can't cut them off too early.
A weird roller coaster of a week, I guess, for Man United. I didn't even think of the Champions League game where they came back against Atalanta. You know, Cristiano Ronaldo was like tweeting away, like just fired up and like ready to go. Like I think he could have conquered the world like the next day. And then I think that's just why this 5-0 drubbing is just so shocking. Really. Like it came out of left field, I feel like.
The difference for me is like if Liverpool, it's the same game. Exact same game. Liverpool are just lethal, right? Like Liverpool just don't mess around. Atlanta couldn't get the job done.
The Henderson pass on the outside of the foot to Mo Salah second goal. If that was made by Kevin De Bruyne, like, I mean, that would have been like front page news everywhere. Like, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
That was a crazy pass. Anyway,
but the only thing with that is if you watch that replay, nothing against the build up to that, right? Or the execution or the ball. Mm-hmm. Lindelof is in no man's land marking, and Wan-Bissaka is marking a winger who's outside the box. Like there was no one filling in the center of the park to defend. And Pogba's pretty good at, you know, box to box defending. And that's where it's a little frustrating for me. McTominay does have that tenacity to put a tackle in, but Fred just doesn't do it. And Lindelof right next to him, you know, right in that mix is just not good enough. What was you guys' thoughts on the red? Do you guys think that was a red?
Yeah, I don't think Pogba should ever play for a Manchester United team ever again.
Based on that tackle?
I thought that was a sort of the capstone to...
Oh, you're not joking.
No. I
thought you were just taking the.
I think it was Paul Scholes that made a similar sort of take, but I feel like that was sort of the capstone to a horrendous game, and it showed. I think that a lot of frustration in everything of Paul Pogba's career at Manchester United came out during that.
And
I think it's time for him to leave.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, but I'm basing that more on his comments here and there than that tackle. For me, that tackle, I think he thought he was going to try to chip it over him, and just went a little higher. It was a nasty tackle. I don't know what the end result was. Like the end, like the full tackle.
A red card.
No, I meant like, I don't know what kind of shape the guy's
in. Yeah.
But like for me, I thought looking back at it, he was like, this guy's going to try dink this. And he just went right over the ball. But like, yes, you know, studs up, feet off the ground, right through the player. That's always going to be a red card. Have you seen it, Steve?
I did see it. I saw it. I want to touch real quick on the, like when you're talking about Wan-Bissaka marking out wide and just like the setup of United defensively as, you know, that was all happening. That again illustrates to me a man who's out of his depth tactically. Not Wan-Bissaka, but OGS. Just like, I think the team is frustrated because I don't think that they're being, I don't know. I just don't think the coaching is really up to scratch for United, a title winning United pushing side. I'm sorry, a title pushing United side. I don't think that everyone's frustrated because everyone wants to do well. Everyone knows they play for Manchester United. Everyone knows what's expected of them. Everyone knows where they should be. They understand it, but it's not translating on the pitch. And I think it's coming. It's not like the talent's not there. They have talent. The team has talent. Varane, De Gea, you have all of these excellent players on the pitch. I mean, Varane, you injured. I get it. But you get what I'm saying. They have it in the squad.
I would argue that, like, your point about the philosophy of the coaching right now and the tactics, I don't know if I'm breaking up or someone else is, but the tactics is this, right? They're playing a 4-2-3-1, and it's congest the center of the park and play for the quick counterattack. At all times, they have 3.5 players, a fourth player is kind of in the mix almost all times, on the counterattack immediately. So, like, ball's turned over in the Man United final third. You got Frederick McTominay, who's really offloading it, trying to find that hanging center midfielder. And Mason Greenwood, Rashford, and Ronaldo are off to the races. That's great against like Bolton. You know what I mean? Like a club that's just never going to be up to the mix. They don't have people to defend. They're not defending for a club like Liverpool. They're defending like they're playing against Leeds, right? And they're defending the same way every game instead of adjusting to their opponent. So that's how they got thrashed, because unfortunately, like for whatever reason, the way this system works, they don't have wingers defending because they're just playing for that counterattack. It's definitely a unique style, but it's just not working in like high pressure games.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think OGS is like, you know, we have like the perfect, there was like articles coming out saying like OGS is like giving interviews saying, you know, we have a plan. We have the perfect plan to stop Mo Salah. Well, Mo Salah just came to your home ground and just scored a hat trick. Like,
shoe in the mouth.
Yeah. Like, everything was just shoe in the mouth. It just seemed.
You don't goes stop on the bench, Mo Salah. Shoe in the mouth. You don't stop Mo Salah. You stop the people from getting the ball.
Sergio Ramos did.
Yeah, but ultimately, right? Like, for real though, like, he's so good. Your job is to make sure he's not in the mix. And if that's through, you know, the little friendly little tug on the jersey, or if it's truly congesting the through balls, you shouldn't have the time to play that kind of ball into a dangerous area to a player like that. Mm-hmm. It's the pass before it for me that United's struggling with.
Not to give him an inch, and they gave him a yard.
To give you guys a little hope, Manchester United fans out there, United are currently 8 points off the top in game week 9. Manchester City were in the same position last season, and we all know what happened.
It's hard
what happened?
To get behind that. It's so hard to get behind that. But you get my point, though, right? Like, there's still time. And then ultimately, Steve, to your point, right? Like, you only have so many losses, but when it's all said and done, no one cares what the losses were. It's the same amount of losses. Like, goal difference here and there does matter, but
I'm just predicting. I'm just forecasting off of what's already happened.
Are you predicting a riot?
Huh?
Are you predicting a riot?
No.
Oh. Okay.
No, I was predicting, like when I was saying they've played 9 games, they've lost 3. If we continue this forecast, like the forecasted path would be your hopes of finishing top 4 are looking kind of slim because you've lost too many games on that trajectory. Obviously, you can't analyze football like that or predict football like that because it never goes like that. But that's the only thing that I've got at this point is these numbers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Steve's got numbers, but apparently not a fan of the Kaiser Chiefs.
Yeah, what a hater.
Yeah, and we're not talking about the team from South Africa.
No.
All right.
Oh, hang on. Last thing real quick. Yeah. So you guys saw those fans leaving, obviously, right? Like all of them?
I heard about it. I didn't see it.
Rumor on the street is they boarded a bus that went straight to Newcastle because they're buying all these fans.
Wow. Wait.
Nope, that's the bandwagon crashing at Man United. Glazers sell 8% of the club and they go to the new fans, the new team on the block. Real fans stuck around in the stadium.
Wow. Are you trying to tell me that the people that left the stadium were Newcastle
Fairweather fans? Okay. That are now Newcastle fans under the new ownership. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it.
Understood.
They're all day.
Sorely disappointed.
Hey, if you play this, back, Ben. I think you'll like my. I had a comedian analogy earlier in this episode. I think you'll enjoy it.
We'll run it back.
So speaking of Newcastle, we've talked amazingly, Ben. I forgot that Steve Bruce had been fired, but Steve Bruce, yeah, exactly. You're next Manchester United manager. But amid the reports of Saudi sports washing accusations, you know, with Newcastle, there's this deal. David Beckham, now under fire, over reports he signed a deal worth £150 million over 10 years, which is actually kind of amazing, to become the face of the 2022 World Cup. Again, a 10-year deal for a World Cup that's in 1 year time, as the ambassador for the Emirate as well.
It's $15 million every year.
Yeah, right. Imagine this. This is the best part of it. Steve, next year, I need you to go to work for a month. Okay, I'm gonna pay you 15 mil for a year for 10 years. Deal, right? Like, how easy is that?
Right.
Where's the dotted line?
A lot of people calling for him to step down from his role at UNICEF. I mean, you want to talk about people that are accused of human rights abuses out the wazoo, Qatar, not great.
Is that the price of a soul?
Yeah,
like 150 mil. Would you take it?
I mean. I don't think you can have hands in both pots when both of those pots don't get along. Like, yeah. you gotta pick your lane because you can't be ambassador for UNICEF, but then also you can't do it. You can't be part of PETA and the NRA. Like, you can't do both.
That's job security, man.
Right. You can advocate for both at the same time.
Yeah.
Never-ending conflict.
Yo, is David Beckham going to have to give up his OBE for this? Like, that's no joke.
Is Beckham going to get canceled?
What is an OBE?
It's like an OBI.
Is that the night? Is that the knighthood thing?
Before it, yeah.
It's like pre-knight.
Yeah.
Like, you know how you do pre-med, pre-calc? Yeah.
Sure, okay.
Yeah. Pre-night.
So he's a junior knight.
Junior knight.
He's an associate knight.
David the Junior associate Knight Beckham.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's kind of wild, man. And the answer is yes, 150 mil is the price to sell your soul.
Yeah.
That's
poor Bex.
What a weird job.
And why does he need it?
Right.
They couldn't find anybody else.
Bro, they needed to go straight for...
He's a good person to go after.
Everybody knows him.
That makes
sense. If you're doing sports washing, let's get the best detergent we can get. Let's get David Beckham to wash this stuff.
The question isn't why do they need him, is why does he need that? Right? Like,
right.
What are you trying to prove, Beckham?
So
going to take that red card away from 98.
So can we say that Inter Miami are now the team of human rights abusers?
Don't try to shift that shame. No, don't be like, all right, first person to come along, that's not Newcastle.
I think that Inter Miami is the human rights abuser team. And that's your MLS coverage of the day.
That and the PKs that have been hitting on Twitter.
Right. Yeah. God. If you haven't seen that, go to Real Swift Kicks on Twitter. We did a small check-in on the MLS, and things are going about as you might expect. An Austin and Dallas game. I believe the Austin kicker hit both posts. The Dallas keeper then went to scoop up the ball, but missed and sort of chested it back into the goal. So
it was pretty good PK. Like, yeah. If you meant to do that, that's great.
If you meant to do that.
All right. But he called it, man. He was like, yo, I'm going to hit this off the left and the right and the keeper, yeah. And got it. Yeah. Done.
Horse. Eight ball, that's left fine. Pocket.
Yeah. No big deal.
Anyway, so David Beckham sold his soul and Inter Miami, human rights abusers. So, Ben, should the U.S. have their own home field? I feel you got a rare personal call about this topic, and it seems things got heated.
Yeah, we'll leave he who should not be named anonymous. Yeah, exactly. The Voldemort of USA Soccer's Facebook group. basically, there's this pretty cool group on Facebook, if you're into that kind of thing, called U.S. Men's National Team. It's got like 22,000 people in there. So I put the question out to the group. And first off, the question I asked, I guess they took it very literal. But basically, I was like, why should the U.S. have, as a poll, U.S. have their own home field, right? Like home base that they're consistently playing out of. Yeah. And then I put next to it, think Wembley to the UK. And out of like the 700-800 people that responded to it, 40% of them wanted to just point out that England is significantly smaller than the US, which is not the point. Read a book. It's more along the lines of most countries have a home field, right? Like you play in Brazil, in Rio, you play in Germany, it's typically in Munich. Spain's bounced around a couple times, but for the most part, they have a home base.
People tried changing the rules to the question with just impromptu answers.
They all did. But I will share the response was overwhelmingly beside what I thought. So personally, I think the U.S. need to have a stable home body, right? The stadiums all have different size crowds. They have different experiences. You never know where you're going to play. So it feels like the U.S. men's team's never actually home. It feels like they're consistently having to adapt to new circumstances. Even though that the crowd should be in their favor. So like they've played, you know, out of the six games they've played for this World Cup qualifying round, the three home games have been in three different time zones. That's just nuts, or three different states. And that's just kind of wild to me. Like, I feel like you need to have this hub. We called it Soccer Town USA, where you kind of come and play. But the overwhelming majority of this 22,000 people in this group were like, yo, no, that's not what the fans need. It was more about what the fans need than what the players need or what it is that the team needs to be successful. It was, you're going to take away too much from the team in doing that, or from the fans in doing that. Not enough people are going to get a chance to see them. To which my point is, if you build a better soccer team, you will have a better fan base either way. So that really, really shouldn't matter. Where are you guys' heads at with it?
I personally, I think I said, like, when you proposed this idea, I think the week before, I really like when they play in Columbus. I feel like some of the better U.S. men's national teams games have just seemed to have happened there. And, you know, it's pretty heartlandy. You know, you could pull a lot of people from the Midwest, a lot of people from the East Coast. I get it. It sucks if you're in California, you're probably not going to Columbus. If you're in Texas, it's probably still about the same distance. You're probably not going to Columbus. That becomes a problem, especially when you're trying to grow a game. But if there's some consistency of some form, I don't know, I feel like that helps you build. And then at that point, you go on like a tour afterwards, if that makes sense. Like maybe you pick like a gold cup or something like that, where you get to, and that's the other thing too, is there's so many CONCACAF championships and gold cups and things like that that do happen in the United States anyway. And those are tournaments that are played in different cities. So you're not going to not see the U.S. play somewhere in your region or in your state or something like that. But there should definitely be like a national training center and stadium in my mind. I think it's something that's consistent and it gives something for, you know, people, young people to look up to, like, oh, one day I'll play my game there. And it'll be cool.
Do they not always train in Florida, or am I just wrong?
I think they mostly train there, but I don't think they exclusively train there. I don't think they just always go to Bradenton.
No. And, you know, a perfect place to be a home field would be Denver if you didn't have to like acclimatize to it consistently on a regular basis. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it can't be somewhere like that. A couple people were calling out like, hey, this shouldn't be on the East Coast. Like that, you just think this would be on the East Coast. I'm like, no, man, I actually think it should be in like Cincy, Columbus, or Chicago. I think it should be pretty central, somewhere that's a hub with a good airport for people to
Kansas
get
City?
To. People would go to Kansas City is worth a look too. It's just Tornado Valley. But I also think there's an element of just being really cold in Ohio that would be kind of funny. And I know Chicago's not in Ohio, but you get my point.
Yeah.
Steve, what do you think? You haven't weighed in on this. You're a fair weather US fan.
I'm not even a fan, so I like the idea. You know what? I'm gonna side with the people who made their own answer on Facebook. The US is a very big country, and it's very, I think it's difficult to signify, to pinpoint and lock. Very big. Capital V. Capital V. To have, like, you know, I don't know what the drive is from Brighton to Newcastle, but what, 4, 5?
Right? Oh, 7, 8.
7, 8. Okay. I mean, it takes me, what I'm trying to say is like to have somewhere where home base is for the U.S. men's national team. I like the idea of it. I think it sounds cool. It's a program. If we have like, you know, like, oh, we're going to, you know, like you're going to Wembley. People know Wembley. Oh, you go to Scotland, you go to Hampden Park. You know where you're going, you know, and it's like, you start to build an atmosphere there. You like, you know what to expect when you go to play those countries at Hampden, what fans are going to show up. When it comes to the States, we're tasked with, well, Moss, does Russia just use Moss? Does Russia have, I'm trying to think of other countries that have the same problem as we have as being too big.
They would only ever play in Moscow or St. Pete. But, you know,
that's, I mean, like, Brazil is quite big as well. And they have a national stadium, the Maracanã or
Maracanã.
Part of my French, but
when in Rome.
Yeah. I don't know. I get what you're saying, but I also don't know how you make that pick. And I think every pick is, you're excluding a large chunk of people. And I don't know the right way to go about that problem. So I'm just going to sweep this thing. I'm picking up my hypothetic rug and I'm just sweeping it under there and I'm bringing it back down.
You're wrong.
Still as did it. United did when they had to address their number 6 problem. They just swept it and then.
All right. So seems we're fairly split on that. I don't know. Build a stadium. Do it.
It just makes
sense. So don't even use an existing one. You want to build a brand new one.
Build a brand new stadium, a whole facility. Build the stadium.
Be so United States. Yeah. Just build the most lavish.
I mean, there's the lavish thing. Throw a strip ball next to it. Just to get beat by
Trinidad at home. Yeah. Let's do that. Actually, can I change my answer? That's what I wanted to be. I want to build a brand new state-of-the-art indoor air-conditioned stadium, top of the line, just so we can get beat by Trinidad at home.
Let's in St. Thomas. Let's put it in St. Thomas or Puerto Rico, one of the U.S. territories.
Guam.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Power move. Puerto Rico, we're moving in. Yep.
We're rustling feathers. Let's just make sure we get everything.
Yeah. You're still recovering for some stuff. We're taking this.
Right. All right, before this goes too far, much more to come on this episode in just 30 seconds. First, take a sip of water. Steve, take a sip of beer. Ben, maybe a Gatorade. Grab a snack. Little orange slice, chewy bar.
Some, you know, pretzels. How it is. Yeah. Some pretzels with this
beer. Whatever you want. You got 30 seconds to do it. It's time for halftime ad reads. And we're back. Hope you're ready for the second half. Steve, what's going on over in Scotland?
I'm so glad you asked. So the gap has been narrowed, honestly. We're keeping clean sheets, which is excellent to see. We played St. Johnstone. We won 2-0 at Paradise over the weekend. Giokoumakis made his first, I believe his first start. The Greek forward made his first start and scored on his first start. That's awesome to see. The table, let's take a look at the table here. So yeah, so Celtic are sitting in fourth place right now on 19 points. Rangers, who just beat St. Mirren barely over the weekend, but beat St. Mirren nonetheless, are sitting on 23 points. So we've got a gap of 4 points. I think some things to notate in the Premiership is that we have Dundee United. I know the answer to this already, but the goal, Dundee United are playing out of their skins right now. It's a bit like Brighton or like West Ham, you know, like in the Prem, just sitting on fourth and fifth spots. They've made it to the adults table, and they're like, whoa, is anybody going to find us out? You know, like,
who's better, Dundee United or Dundee?
I think United is definitely
currently this season, obviously United.
Right. But. Yeah. Dundee, they have Lee Griffiths there on loan. They have Charlie Adam.
Right.
Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Kicking about. That looks like what an athlete doesn't look like, but he's still quarterbacking for Dundee. But Charlie Mulgrew, former Celtic player, left-footed center back, who is at a, I think Charlie Mulgrew honestly has revitalized United and is a major point. Major is debatable, but he's a big chunk as to why United are playing out of their skins right now. I think United have a player in Charlie Mulgrew. You have to remember that Charlie Mulgrew has played in the game for so long, but also played in so many positions. He's played center back, left back, right back, center mid, left mid. He has the jack of all trades, but he's got the experience to be able to do a job in all these places. That experience is benefiting this young team, to third place. Mulgrew, he's playing on the he's like in an advanced role on the right flank in the game versus I can't remember for the life of me now.
Motherwell. But
he stutter steps. Yeah, Motherwell. Right. He stutter steps, shimmies. Swings in a right-footed cross. He's left-footed. Swings in a right-footed cross to the back post. Large looping ball. Scored and then banging a header. I mean, I think Mulgrew is a big chunk as to why they're doing so well. Case in point. Rangers, I still don't think look convincing. Morelos just scored his 100th Premiership, his 100th Premiership goal over the weekend. I think there's still doubts as to what that team can. I think doubt is creeping into that team. I mean, I understand that they're still first place. I understand they're on 23 points. Hearts is second, which is crazy for Hearts as well. I mean, Hearts was promoted this season, and they're sitting second right now. So we're looking kind of silly with Craig Gordon, who we let go to Hearts. They got relegated, and then they come back, and now they're in second place. It's very competitive this season. I think a lot of people view the Premiership as a two-horse race with Celtic and Rangers in that order. And then you see Rangers on 23, Hearts on 20, United's on 20, Celtic's on 19. You got Hibs on 15, Motherwell on 14. I mean, it's
right.
From the top all six to places for. Are separated by – right. It's all to play for. So I still think that our – I think Giakoumakis is a very good backup striker, but I think Kyogo is the one that we need to keep. So is the one that we need to keep playing, and hopefully we can gather some more points in Europe. I wrote a short article on SwiftKickspod.com. That is
SwiftKickspod.com.
Going over Celtic's hopes of qualifying for the knockout stages of the Europa League. In the very tough group in Group G that we are in. But if we can maintain that and maintain our form in the league, we're now at the point where we're starting to develop or we're starting to turn out clean sheets. I mean, it's not only the improvement, but consistency. That's the thing. I mean, people are back in Ange. I don't think there's a whole lot of criticism right now. I think that there's a lot of people are seeing now the fruits of Ange's the fruits of our labor now. He's getting the team. He's assembled the team that he wanted to assemble, and he's actually going out in press conferences and talking about it now. He's like, he's a bit more confident about it. He's a bit more, he can see the results of what's happening. He can see, he's got the foresight to see, you know, we've came from this point, we're at this point now, this is progress, and now we can get to, I see us getting to this point here in the future. And he's now getting a little bit more confidence about him when he's talking to the press. It's all good signs, I think. I mean, albeit we're in fourth place, a very competitive season this year in Scotland, but in a rebuilding period, us sitting this close to top, I'm pleased with that, and I'm excited to see what's going to happen for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, it looks like Celtic are kind of learning how to control games, if you know.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing.
And I think that they can look forward to the January transfer window. I just was sort of browsing some articles where you're talking, talking about how this guy Daisen Maeda, I guess a Japanese striker over at the place where
I was reading into that same article.
Where Pasta Man used to come from in the J League. So
Pasta Man.
Yeah, somebody that he knows. And I think that that's something too. I think we've talked before about how it's, you know, it's always critical to bring in some people that you know, that you're comfortable around, that you were developing anyway, that you want to sort of continue that role. That gives you something to look forward to going forward. So, yeah.
It sounds strange too that like when you have like a, but like Postecoglou is a person who just you can get behind. Like there's some people, like when you hear them in the press, like they could be doing everything great on paper, but then when you see them talking to the press or like whenever they have media, it's just like, you know, it doesn't hit the right notes. It doesn't have the right flavor. And it's kind of like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But Ange in the press, he's very, I don't know. He's mild mannered. He's professional, but he's also very, he's very assertive and convinced on his method of football, what his philosophy is and the way that we're going to go forward. And he's very steadfast in that. And it's just, it's easy to get behind. It's
right.
So it's just kind of reassuring. It's I don't know how to describe that sense.
Coming into form.
Yeah.
He's found his form and it's working out.
Yeah. Ben, I do have a Life Alert person of the week if you didn't have one. So we'll get ready for that. But do you want to tee us off with a little Where Are They Now first?
They are. And my Where Are They Now is a twofer. So just know that Where Are They Now will also bring about the Life Alert person of the week. But we should have a second person of the week as well.
Well, let me just preface it by saying my Life Alert person of the week has fallen, but maybe it will get back up.
Mine, I don't know if we will ever see recover.
Okay.
Just throwing that out there. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So this individual is a Scorpio. Pluto is the planet of power or whatever it's called. And was born in the year of the tiger.
Is Pluto a planet?
Oh, you got an hour?
Steve just went down the metaphysical hole back in a week. So yeah, that's the player. Where are they now? Let's go. Have at it. What's your questions, boys?
They play in the Prem.
Is this okay?
Can you rephrase that question?
Did they exclusively play in the Prem?
Correct, yes.
Oh, okay. You said, did they? So it makes me think that they're retired.
Which is also why I re-asked the question.
Okay. So they're retired and they also only played in the Prem. Does the team that they played for in the Prem, is that team still in the Prem this season?
Yes.
Did they play for only one club?
Yes.
Is this person English?
Yes.
Is this person currently do punditry?
Yes.
Is this person Matt Letizier?
No.
Hmm.
It was a very strong opinion on that. Well played, Steve. Good try. Good effort.
I had confidence about it.
Did you say, is it Jamie Carragher?
Yeah.
No.
Is he right. Oh.
But I appreciate the attitude.
Did they play defender?
No, they did not. This player was exclusively a center midfielder.
I mean, it can't. No.
Micah Richards.
Nope. No, he's a right back.
Could have played center midfield.
Damn, I was so I was like a horse with blinders on, man. I just was really come out with this cereal. Everything was lining up, and now that reality is not real, I'm lost.
Why even
now.
Bother?
I'm scrambled.
Yeah.
Never mind.
This person played for the club in the same city that they grew up in.
Hopefully, they didn't grow up in London.
They did not.
Oh, okay.
That'd be fun.
Because there's 10,000 clubs.
Yeah, right. A team that currently plays in the Prem.
Did they play for Aston Villa?
They did not. They're not from Birmingham.
Mm. Did they play for Newcastle?
Nope, not in Geordie.
Are they from the Northeast?
Going down the list.
They're definitely Northern Monkeys.
I think that seems racist.
It's not. Thanks, though. Yeah, I'll be on a 6-week sabbatical finding myself. Right.
Do they play for Derby?
Nope.
They do not. It's currently plays in the Prem.
Oh, in my opinion, this is one of the best center mids of all time.
It's not Paul Scholes, is it?
Paul Scholes for the win. The W.
I was the person I was going to say from the beginning. After Matt.
I was going to guess it earlier.
No, but I was like, surely this can't be Paul Scholes. Like, we're going to ask of a more obscure name than that.
Nope. He's now a co-owner of
Salford.
Yeah, whatever.
He's a coroner.
Yep. Coroner. Checking in that Salford City as a caretaker manager in 2020 when him and the boys bought the club. Is that what happened there? Is that the club? That's not the club they went in on, is it?
Yeah, Salford City.
Yeah.
It's Salford.
Yeah.
I didn't know Paul Scholes grew up in Manchester.
Yeah. Fun fact. What the fun? Where are they now? So now let's just shift a little bit.
Salford City, 17th currently in football, League Two.
League Two.
League.
Wait, who? Salford.
Yeah.
Family, Mr. Miller.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Paul Scholes also doubles as the Life Alert Person of the Week because of this. Long and short of it, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but he is in the news for chewing on his daughter's toenails.
Oh, God, yes.
Stop. No, he's not. What?
Yes. Yes, and he comments incessantly on her Instagram photos.
Yes.
In a creepy manner.
Yes, he's kind of a weird. What? And then the Liverpool fans over the weekend were chanting, Paul Scholes sucks on his daughter's toes.
I believe I have
Steve, ready. Real quick, Google that right now. Just Google Paul Scholes toenails. Just
hold do on. I was figuring out where Matt Letizia is from Guernsey.
Oh, yeah, thank God.
That's right.
The island. Okay, hold on. Paul Scholes. Whoa. What? Paul Scholes horrifies fans by chewing daughter's toenails in... Wait. Video of Paul... Jesus. Okay. A video of Paul Scholes, which has since been dubbed the Class of 90 Toe.
End it now. I can't
mic get up. Drop. No further comment needed there from Steve. Steve just won the podcast. Congrats,
did,
Steve. You're now the owner of a new podcast.
How do we not lead with this?
Yeah. So right there, guys.
Okay.
So where is he now? Paul Scholes? At the foot of his daughter's bed.
Damn, what is this?
The heel of every
I'm seeing
joke.
Photos and still frames. I don't like it.
The shoe in, right?
Yes.
Steve can't look away.
What is he doing?
Steve is torn because his daughter's pretty good looking. So he's like, do I look away?
No, all I can see is her feet or someone's feet. I don't even know who this is.
Fetish, Steve.
Please keep a 6 foot distance next.
I'm thinking, like, what if this was like his wife? But like, nothing makes this better. Nothing makes this better.
I mean, it definitely would make it better if it wasn't his daughter. I'm just throwing that out.
I mean, what, if it's a stranger, if it's his
maybe
granddaughter,
North Carolina.
If it's his sister, nothing's good.
It's definitely not great.
The class of 90 toe.
Yeah, that's good. All right. So the class of 90 toe. Paul Scholes, where are they now? We've gone over this. And Alex, why don't you hit us with a doubleheader? Good luck topping that one.
Yeah, well, I guess Mooney Rooney.
Back for more.
Might have a little more cash in his pocket. A U.S. businessman is apparently eyeing a rescue of the Rooney-led Derby from bankruptcy. And by the name of Chris Kirchner, founder of shipping and logistics firm Slink.io. He has written to inform supporters of his desire to take Derby out of administration, which is pretty badass that you could just write a letter and say that I wish to take you out of administration. I'm rich as hell.
I'm going to write the letter. I'm not going to follow through on it.
Right. Yeah. I want to take you out, but I don't have the money.
Bro, his daughter's 20. what is going on?
And you heard it here first. That's Steve's fresh reaction to Paul Scholes.
You know how you would write that numerically, right? Toe.
Yeah, E-W.
Toe.
Ew.
Toe.
Shut up. Shut up.
Some would just say toe.
Up. Toe up.
Toe up from the up.
All right, so Derby County is on the up and up, and Paul Scholes has hit a rock bottom.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Is it trash take time?
Not quite.
If Paul Scholes opens a cheese store, don't go. Got a toe cheese.
Oh, God. It could
life
be worse.
Life advice by Steve.
Could be from under. Anyway, so Jurgen Klopp, our favorite Bond villain, after beating Manchester United 5-0, said that he would just have just one quote-unquote beer after that win. Do we believe it was just one? And did he sip it alone?
A beer?
No and beer? No.
I'm not going to lie. I like chose to not remember most of Sunday after that happened. Like,
hang on. If Jurgen Klopp is reaching for a beer, what beer is he reaching for?
Hopefully a Rubens Brews.
Is it this Lily White Wit? Yeah, I was just
100%. He drinks exclusively Rubens Brews.
Wow, plug, shameless plug.
Prove me wrong, boys. Yeah, prove me wrong.
I feel like we've earned our sponsorship here.
Yeah.
Who would be invited to Jurgen Klopp's party?
Again, the second party.
Not James Bond. Yeah.
This is the second Klopp party.
Probably.
What?
Probably
Dr. No Octopussy.
Oh, probably Solskjaer, right, where he'd pay him cash for taking a fall.
Right.
Like, there's no other reason for that.
Thanks for making me look good.
Yeah.
Mo Salah wouldn't be allowed because he'd just score all the time.
For sure. I wonder if
Daniel Craig would be invited to that
party. Paul Scholes is banned from all parties.
Yeah. Paul Scholes is on a blacklist.
Yeah.
I actually think Daniel Craig is a huge Liverpool fan, so he actually might be.
Yeah.
He'd be there. Anyway, go on. He'd be there.
He has to kill the Bond, so he would be there.
Yeah, of course.
It is inevitable. Anyway, so more to think about that. But Jurgen Klopp said that he had just one beer. I don't think any of us believe it. That's one trash take.
He probably bonged it.
Yeah. Main veined. Premier League trash takes starting from Saturday, October 30th with Leicester and Arsenal, going through Monday, the 1st of November with Wolves and Everton. Who you guys got? Got some Halloween games coming up.
I'm last because I'm still pulling up the fixtures.
It's a bit of a spooky take, but I'm going to take Arsenal over Leicester.
Ooh.
I'm already spooked.
Would it be a trash take to say Man U over Tottenham? It would be a trash take to say Newcastle over Chelsea.
I mean, at this point,
Graham Jones is undefeated. So let the undefeated streak continue.
My trash take is that Liverpool beat Brighton, but at a lesser deficit than 5-0.
Ooh.
It's very possible. Mm-hmm. Where is the game? Is that at Anfield?
Yeah, it's at Anfield. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So my trash take
Brighton, is Brighton loses, but not by 5-0.
Brighton to lose by less than 5.
Hang on. Yeah, did you pick exactly the head of the Premier League to win a game again as a trash
take? No, I basically my trash take is Brighton are gonna lose their game, but they're losing at a lesser deficit
than
5.
That is a terrible trash take.
Well, sorry.
No, it's not trash. You were like, hey, Liverpool are probably gonna beat everyone in the league, including Brighton.
Liverpool are currently second. At least they didn't pick Chelsea to beat Newcastle.
Yet.
Thank you, Alex.
That take was already taken.
I have chosen Newcastle to beat Chelsea. I will continue to pick Newcastle until they get their first win.
Yeah,
the undefeated run continues.
Yeah, that's about as bad as picking the season favored winners to win a game. But hey, those trash takes, that's what they're for.
I think Leicester will beat Arsenal in other news.
Yeah. All of those trash takes, by the way, are brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
In the trunk. That being said, those trash takes, just to recap them real quick, we got Arsenal over Leicester, Liverpool against all odds beating Brighton.
Newcastle
beating Chelsea.
Brighton are losing to Liverpool, but less than 5, yeah.
Yeah.
My trash take is Brighton.
He's putting an under on it. He's saying under 4-5 goals is what he's saying.
Right.
I'm picking up.
It doesn't have a high payout.
It at all. In fact, you probably owe money. Don't do that. Like, rule number one. Last but not least, as we say goodbye, did you guys see that there's a Saudi sponsor of another club in the Premier League? And no one said anything. Who was that, Alex? Sorry to put you on the spot. I saw it and I was just like, what? How are we not talking about this?
I believe it was the Crystal Palace. One of their owners is, one more second, David Blitzer. Crystal Palace owner is a senior executive at the Blackstone Group, which took a $20 billion investment from the one and only private investment fund that owns Newcastle United.
Is that a recent thing? Like, that just happened recently?
No, that just recently popped up into everybody's public view. Especially because there were Crystal Palace fans over the weekend that had a fan or had a sign sort of calling out, you know, blood money, whatever Newcastle are taking and that kind of stuff. And it actually got investigated by police. No charges were ever filed from it. But I can kind of see like more of those things sort of popping up around, especially this season. And meanwhile, those in glass houses probably should pipe down.
Yo, did you see, this is super touchy, so I'm sorry if this offends anyone, but did you see that the Newcastle fans were asked to not wear the
head? I walked back.
I know. That it's is the craziest thing.
It got walked back. So the club came out and said, like, hey, guys, can you, like, stop, like, wearing tea towels over your head to make you look like a Saudi Arabian kind of person? Like, it's kind of insensitive, whatever. And then I mean, just literally every comment on that thing was like, I'm from Saudi Arabia and I'm not offended by this. But then the club walked it back.
A third party brought it.
What does that mean?
Like, that's no longer their recommendation that you don't wear that.
They didn't apologize, but they were like, hey, we actually don't think that's important. We're inclusive for everyone.
Yeah,
it was very interesting to me.
So, hey, you can resume wearing them, is basically.
Yes, cultural appropriation is appropriate in Newcastle, is what they're saying.
Yeah. But at least we're not Inter Miami.
No, you're not. You got some standards. You're not sponsoring the 22 World Cup. Right. Oh, God.
Cultural appropriation is appropriate in
Newcastle. Yeah, between that and the chewing on toes, this has been a great episode, and that's where we're going to leave it. So, ta-ta for now. Ricardo. Ricardo.